Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Amen. The Holy Spirit will help us. When you talk about the old and the new, number one, you must understand that it's not a division of the Bible. Praise God. It's not that New Testament ended in Malachi and the new began in Matthew. As a matter of fact, if we are going to go by accounts, John chapter 21 was actually where we had the New Testament, you know, starting out and beginning. And of course, we had somebody who was very close to Christ. And that was why we could have his account. His account seems to be a little more intimate than the other guys, because he saw it all. I think, according to records, maybe that book was written 90 years after Christ, by about AD 90. About 90 years. So he was there, he saw it all. And of course, you understand that wisdom is justified by his children. So somewhere, somehow, his account was a little, you know, more explanatory, was a little more revelational. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he paid attention more on the words of the Christ. So when you read John chapter 10 and you read him here writing about the shepherd and the sheep and all that, and the gate and all that, and then you go into his epistles, Charlie, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, when you cross-carpet that with the book of John, you discover that the way he even started the book of John, he didn't start with the accounts of the lineage of, he started with what? In the beginning, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. We till Jesus comes, we'll keep opening that place. That place is still giving some people a lot of problems. Now what I'm trying to say is that it's not how the Bible was divided. And there's a need for you to become a New Testament saint. Hallelujah. Don't let it surprise you that you can be in the New Testament now, but still operate by Old Testament methods. Praise God. There was a shift in the way things were done in that testament and this one. And that is why you must come into that understanding and that knowledge. And of course, even up till now, there are still many things about our lives that are patterned after the old order. Let us be sincere. Let's tell ourselves the truth. There are a lot of things about us presently that when you sit down critically and look at it, it is still patterned after the what? The old order. For example, I was reading something about the Old Testament prophetic ministry and the New Testament prophetic ministry. In the Old Testament, a prophet did not, in quotes, prophesy according to the proportion of faith. I'll explain. In the Old Testament, when a prophet gives a word, a prophet can, in the Old Testament, can say, "Thus says the Lord." He's telling you what exactly God is what is saying. So in the Old Testament, is that you have true prophet or you are a what? You are a false prophet. There's nothing like let the prophet in the Old Testament speak and let some people judge. You don't judge an Old Testament prophet. You understand? He has this ability in him to push forth the word of God. The way it is coming, the guy won't miss it. But in the New Testament, it's not like that. Let two or three prophets prophesy and let another what? Judge. So in the New Testament, you are not, that's why in the Old Testament, a prophet can isolate himself. Can stay in the bush. People like John the Baptist can stay in the bush. You can't judge him. What he's giving you is confirmed. But in the New Testament, God did not design it that way. How did he design it? He designed it that you will be in the church, so that we'll be able to judge your prophecy. Praise God. Because in the New Testament, you have to prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And that is why, we used to see that when you see an immature prophet and a false prophet, they almost look the same. in the Old Testament, God told them that if a prophet should say something that the Lord said this and did not come to pass. Deuteronomy chapter 18. If the prophet says this and what he said does not come to pass, then I did not send him. But in the New Testament, God will not say so. Hallelujah. Are we together? Because in the New Testament, he has to prophesy by what? By faith. So a prophet can miss it actually in the New Testament. I'm not saying he will intentionally miss it, but somewhere, somehow, for those of us who have operated a little who prophesy here, you understand that when you are prophesying, there's this level of your mind that wants to get in the way. You are conscious that you are here. You are conscious that everybody is listening to you. It has only been on one or two occasions I prophesied and I lost consciousness. I still knew that people were around, but I was taking over. It doesn't happen like that all the time. And even at that, you can still, human things can still come in. Hallelujah. So if in the New Testament now, a prophet says something and it's not exactly the way it was put, then you now say that guy is a false prophet. Then you are making a mistake. Hallelujah. Or you say, I'm a prophet, you now go to stay inside one bush in Futa. That you are another John the Baptist. It won't happen again. God will not do that again. Are we together? They're trying to say that the Old Testament model of doing things, it's different from the new. And that is why if we are really going to understand the new, we have to talk about different things. Hallelujah. It's old, it's there in scripture, but we have to go to different topics and talk about different things. For example, hearing God. Hallelujah. For example, the law. Some of us believe that the law has been done away with, but I think you should now understand that the law, what the New Testament helps you to do is helps you to keep the law. It's not like, okay, do not fight, do not steal, it's still do not what? Do not steal. As a matter of fact, when you go into that law, you still see grace inside that law. If you go and study the Torah, you see grace. God still use grace to surround that thing. If a man kills somebody and is not intentionally, God created about 6 cities where the person can run to. What do you think that is? What do you think that is? Maybe the Bible says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But God is now saying that if somebody should kill somebody unintentionally, please separate 6 cities for him where he can run to until the death of the what? Of the high priest. So once the high priest dies, the guy is free. He can come back. But if we should leave that place before the high priest dies, what happens to him? If the avenger of blood, or even the relatives of those people that he killed, if they get him and they kill him back, no story. The guy just died on his own. So you now begin to understand that it takes the Holy Ghost actually that carved this New Testament to be able to open our eyes, to bring us, you know, understandings. For example, Jesus with that woman at Jacob's well. In Sychar, what happened? The woman said, we worship God, you know. She was trying to separate the Jewish service from that of the Samaritans. But Jesus told her that the time is coming where you no longer worship here or there, but those that worship God will worship him in what? In spirit and in what? And in truth. Now, that must be very high for that woman. Because does she know what it means to worship in spirit and in truth? So you see that understanding this testament actually places on us a responsibility to come up. Amen. So you may just need to what? Come up. There is an upgrade that is needed. So it's not just how the divided Bible. An upgrade is actually needed in understanding how the new functions as it differs from the what? From the old. Certain things did not change. Hallelujah. And of course, certain things were upgraded. For example, in the New Testament, a prophet is not so like that directed towards the nation. Prophets are more directed to the church, though you may have a few of them who are directed, who God gives grace, you know, and that is why we talk about prophesying according to the proportion of faith. Like Professor Shalu said in the last prophetic meeting where he said that somebody like Tunde Bakare has some authority to do some things, which if maybe Pastor Shehi does this or Pastor Pelo, they may get into trouble. Praise God. Because the office he's carrying actually is an authority there that protects him. Amen. He has said some very, very serious things. Very serious things that an ordinary man cannot say. There was a time they even took him, SSS arrested him. He told the woman that night that you will not sleep. If he's God that called me and sent me, you will not sleep. The man of God you were supposed to be dealing with, she had to start pacifying him. And they had to bring him back to his house that same night. So there are some men of God, when you pick them like that, you know that you are at risk. Praise God. Authority covers them. But not everybody has that kind of thing. But the New Testament prophet is actually like directed towards the church. That's why he has to live among the church. He has to stay within the church and not stay somewhere. So these patterns are a little different. So you must come to the understanding that somebody died. It starts from there. Somebody shed his blood, because every covenant, the signature of, and you know what a testament is, because I saw Pastor Billy was talking about testament on Sunday. I know some of us, that may sound a little, because when you say testament, what your mind goes to is the Old and New Testament. What is actually the meaning of the word testament? It is just a testimony that God gives about himself for men to live by in a dispensation. From the word testament, is from the word testimony. How do I know this? Let's see 1 John chapter 5 verse 11. This is the record that God has given to us. This is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And that eternal life is Son. Verse 12 says what? Life. Has no life. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, sir. This is a record. What is that record? I think that should be new. There are some versions that use God has given us a testimony. I think some versions use that. If you had that version, let's do it together. Don't just look at us. From verse 10. What did verse 10 say? Okay, whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Yeah?
Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar.
Okay.
Because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son.
He has not believed the testimony that God has given about himself. Yes, 11.
And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son.
So that's what I was trying to bring up. I don't want you to get caught up in big English and big spiritual language. Praise God. The testimony that God has given about himself. That version says he has given a record. So when God, the God of all the earth, opens up himself and says, this is me. Of course, what you always know is that people give testimony about other people. Shebi, if you say, come and give testimony, what do you say? You say, I want to give testimony about what God has what? Has done. But when a man comes and gives testimony about himself, that is exclusive to God. Praise God. Don't blow your trumpet. Say, let other people praise you. So, scripturally, it is just important that people testify of you. Hallelujah. But there's an exclusive one that goes to God, that God gave a testimony of him what? Of himself. And that is this testament. So, in the old, he actually gave a testimony of who? Of himself. That was a part of him. That was a side of him. So when we saw Moses asking to see the backside of God, asking to see the face of God, that man knew something. Hallelujah. Who told him to ask to see the face of God? I don't think anybody in history have ever asked that question. But did you read that anybody asked that question? That please show me your face. So the intimacy had been built to a point that this man somewhere knew something. So no wonder God will not allow them to know his burial, his place of burial. Because even that place, I believe, will carry power. It will carry power. It's not just that Israel will go there and be doing, that place will carry power. Because for a man, who told him that there's something called the face of God? Who told him? So he decided to see, but God knew that it was not time to unveil that side of him. So God said, well, we are going to give to you. So when you're talking about high calling, you should understand what we are talking about. When you see a man looking for the high calling, he's not looking for what every other person is looking for. So while some guys were busy crying, God, give us meat. We can't see meat to eat. You want to kill us here? You know, we used to eat cucumbers and eat garlic and eat ginger, eat everything there. Somebody was busy asking that, God, I want to do what? I want to see your face. So there are certain unusual things that we will do that we do not know that they can. Please, are you flowing with me? So there are certain things that will happen. Let me just breeze into that. There are certain things that we do, we do not know how far those things can go. And that's why we ask, always, you know, praying and encouraging you that the quality of your heart matters a lot. Man looks at the face, but God looks where? At the heart. I shared something in my Sunday school class on Sunday, I'll share it again. That Professor Shalu said he met, in 1998, he met an 11-year-old boy that was walking in terrible prophetic. 11-year-old, that even he, Professor Shalu looked at the boy and said, how did you come about this? I think Roshiri was there. Ibuloti Koile, where did you come across this one? And you know, and how did the boy go into it? Somebody was prophesying, and the person was prophesying hard and crying, you know, all those kind of prophecy. I am the Lord, I am the Lord. And the person was struggling. And the boy looked and said, oh, but oh God, it doesn't have to be as hard as this. And that was all. Hey God, must it be as difficult as this? And that was all. That was all. At that moment, he picked something terrible. He said he doesn't know where the boy is today, but he had to pray for the boy. He said he asked the boy, tested the gifts. He said, told him that he had some friends in the UK or the US, that the boy should tell him what those guys were doing. And the guy told him expressly what they were doing. He said when he sent them a mail that year to ask them at social time, I said, what were you doing? The guy got it exactly. And how did he come into it? God. I don't know, maybe God just saw the compassion on that boy's heart that day. He said, God, it doesn't have to, must it be this hard? And the guy just entered prophetic. So you don't know whether it's somebody you just give money to, you enter into abundance. And that is why we have to be mindful of the quality of our hearts. It's more important than anything else. Are we together? So I'm just branching into that so that you don't know. Maybe somebody does you a favor, you are supposed to claim the glory, you just let it go. And God looks at you and I used to say it before that God is not surprised, but there are some things that catch God by surprise. Sorry, in quotes. God will see some hearts sometimes and say, hey, can we find this? You know, it's a dimension in God. God is all knowing God. But you can see him in diverse dimensions sometimes. He can be in the dimension where he is weak sometimes. You can see him as a lion. Sometimes you see him as a lamb. Sometimes you see him, you think what you have just done is nothing before him. But that simple thing catches, you know, his attention. And then you are like, I only gave 20 naira. But to God, God looks deep into your heart and saw where that 20 naira was coming from. That it was not coming from your hand, it was coming from your heart. And because of that, he will just do some things. So, let us pay attention to the quality of our hearts. It can help us in this thing. So, as Moses sought to see God's face, God knew it was not time to unveil that side of him. So, he said, don't worry, I will show you my back. Hallelujah. And that is why, when you're talking about the two revelations of God in the realm of time and eternity, what you hear in the world to come is the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. That's why those are the two songs you hear. The song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Because you can't talk about that Lamb without talking about Moses. It was Moses that first downloaded that dimension. It was through Moses that God, you know, brought it down, the prototype. And why? He sought to see God's face. And God said, okay, don't worry. If he can't give you the face now, he can give you the back. So they allowed him to, you know, download that side, and he brought it down. Hallelujah. So when you look at that testament, it was a testimony of God, of himself too. But even though that was not the fullest, that was not what exactly God was trying to drive at, because the Bible says that the blood of goats and of Haifa and all that, they couldn't do the work. But God needed to give a testimony. So if you wanted life at that time, you needed to come to the covenant of the Jews. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you wanted life at that time, you wanted to meet with God, just come to that covenant. You'll find God. That was why there was a place for foreigners too. So, Paul was right. He said, we were aliens. No God and no what? No hope in this world. So every other nation, it is now you can say Israel is my firstborn. What of other nations? Maybe there are secondborns and thirdborns and fourthborns, but they had no hope. So that was the testimony God gave of himself. So if you can live by that testimony, you are going to find life. Even though that testimony was not able to give life, that testament was not able to give life because of the weakness of what? Of the people. The people could not walk fully in that testament. They couldn't fulfill the law. The more they tried to fill it, the more they died. And so God had to make another provision. Please, so with the word testament, I think we have done our ABC about that. Are we clear? All right. So let's talk about one very important aspect. I'll spend the remainder of the time talking about that part of us that hears God. I want us to talk about it. Hearing God. I love talking about it. Maybe because I see that it is one of the benefits you come into when you come to the New Testament is the ability to hear God. In the Old Testament, the prophetic was concentrated, but in the New Testament it is distributed. That's why you find in the mainstream of what God was doing, you find only a few men per time. Amen. If you are looking for God in the days of Elijah, I don't think you can find him anywhere else. Look for Elijah. Look for, you know, when you read Bibles, even though God said I have 7,000, even that 7,000, only God knows if they were ever activated all through their lifetime. Hallelujah. We are not sure. But I don't think there was ever a time where you find Israel having 7,000 activated prophets at the same time. I doubt. So you just find it happening to a few. Hallelujah. And if you must hear God, we need to go through these people. These people had access. And like I mentioned earlier, anything they give you is confirmed. If any one of them wants to be false, then you will discover that it's difficult to commit the sin of presumption. If you want to be a false prophet in the old order, then you intentionally be a false prophet. Like Ananias, who after Jeremiah prophesied 70 years, came back and said, God will bring them back in 2 years. That was from him. And God punished him for it. God told him, this year you are going to die. And he died that same year. So, if you want to be a false prophet in that testament, you'll be a false prophet by yourself. Praise God. It's really hard as a prophet of God for you to make it, because what God was dishing out, who in Israel will come and judge Elijah? Who will judge Elijah? Who will judge their words? But the New Testament is not so. So in the Old Testament, it was concentrated among a few. But in the New Testament, what we come to is that every one of us have access to the throne. Praise God. You have access to God, and you have access to be able to hear him. That is one fundamental difference. I wouldn't really want to put this thing on. Let's put it under the prophetic ministry. Let's just put it about, we are prophetic people. Joel 2:28, Acts 2:17. Trying to say the same thing. Let's read scripture. Acts 2:17. If you are there before me, please read. Alright, so this is not, they didn't say possibly. This is sure what's going to happen. They didn't say possibly, they didn't say maybe. This is going to happen. I'll pour it out upon your sons and daughters, and they will what? They will prophesy. But the truth is that you cannot prophesy if you have not heard him. So your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Over, you know, the even servants in those days, I'll pour out my spirit. Are we together? So we must understand why we are a prophetic church. We are people destined to hear God. We are destined to flow in the consciousness of your Father. The New Testament is built on relationship. So I don't see how you can go through the New Testament without a relationship. And what is the very first thing in any relationship? Can somebody help me out? Communication is the first thing in any relationship. Communication. And that is why if you really want to understand marriage very, very well, I think we need to, once we leave the life before the fall, then let's come to the New Testament. We understand communication is a very, very first thing. So if God brings you into union with Him, the very, 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 very first thing that will define your relationship with Him is communication. Hallelujah. You can't say you are in love when you don't talk. Praise God. Am I speaking? You're not in love with somebody. You know what fosters that? Sometimes, a lot of times, what fosters familiarity is actually communication. And when you start, when you want to see the, when you see marriages break up, it starts from breaking. How did you used to do it those days? When you are watching a black and white TV, just see, sorry for the break in transmission. It was due to power failure. Hallelujah. When you see relationships breaking, marriages breaking, that is where it starts from. So in a relationship with God, is the first thing, is one of the first things you come into. Now, there are varying degrees. You mature in this thing. Nobody is a professor at it. Amen. But it's what you must understand. So as you come into new birth and you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, even before you are baptized, even people like Hagin, before they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, their inner witness was already working. So even before you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, your inner witness is there. Amen. If you are, some people were blessed the day they got born again. That was the day they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. That was the day they prophesied. But for some of us, my upbringing, you have to pray for the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you have to fast for the Holy Ghost. Some people go to the mountain to fast for the Holy Ghost. But thank God that these days we now know that, you know, getting filled in the Holy Ghost is not as difficult as it was painted. Do I have a problem with our modern methods? With our modern methods, we get the Holy Ghost and we are cold. When people got the Holy Ghost, they went mad. Praise God. Do you read the book of Acts? Those guys got baptized in the Holy Ghost and they went crazy. I think one of the signs that you have baptized in the Holy Ghost is that you go crazy. You go viral. Amen. You are laughing. It's the truth. It's easy people get born again, and when they get born again, their lives don't change. You don't get. Their lives don't change. The things they used to do. You know, those days you get born again and the things you used to do so start smelling to you. You can't, you just feel that there are some things I shouldn't do. But these days you get born again and you say it's not prayer, and at the end of the day, what happens? We now start lying under the cover of, don't worry, soul me. So your soul has to mature. See, there are some things that stop instantly with new birth. You must understand that fact now. So if you came to the kingdom and you are still finding it convenient doing the things you used to do, you need to check. Maybe you came through the window. You probably didn't come through the door. Because actually certain things will cease. Not everything, not all things will cease. But certain things will cease. There is this life that comes to your conscience. Your conscience, what do you think happens to you when you get born again? Your conscience is baptized into something new. And that's the way we read in that 1 Peter 3:18. It talks about, was it 1 Peter 3:18? Yes. When you go to verse 19, let's quickly see. 1 Peter 3, verse 19. So, that place that talks about baptism. Is it 1 Peter or 2 Peter? 3:21. What does it say? The answer of a good conscience towards God. I love that. That's what happens to you when you get baptized. Not water, because Peter even wrote it there, that it's not a washing. You know when he was talking about not the washing of death from your body? You know he was talking about water baptism. Say we are together. Bro John, you're not here. What's up? What are you thinking about? Eh? Don't worry, it will be fine. Eh? You want me to tell you what you are thinking? Don't worry, I won't do that. Because I don't know it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it's not about washing of death from your body. It's actually the response of a good conscience towards God. So what happens? That your conscience comes alive. So even before getting born again, something happens. Your inner witness is already functional. If you are not that blessed to have received the Holy Ghost, you know, immediately you got born again, maybe you had to wait for a while. Your inner witness is already functional. It's there. You have the Spirit of God in a measure. How do I know that? Jesus breathed over his disciples before his ascension and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Which Holy Ghost did they receive? Which Holy Ghost did they receive? But there was no manifestation, nothing. But the Holy Spirit was there. But even at that, they were still locking themselves up in some places and praying in one upper room, shut themselves up. But when the manifestation actually came, and that's you know, I guess really told them received the Holy Ghost. Those guys got born again, you know, after Jesus resurrected and all that. That was when they actually became born again. You know, they were not born again too. Sure, you know, until the resurrection, those guys were not born again. You just know that Jesus cannot come and meet them in that situation, because even the Jesus is still with them. Praise God. When your kids, if you are not born again, go and settle God this night, because Jesus can come tomorrow. Hallelujah. So one of the things you come into is the ability to hear God, where you don't need me, in quotes, you don't need pastor, you have a link with him. And that is an area of our lives that we must explore. We must explore and exploit it. That area, it's a whole course, it's a whole degree program that you have to go and sit down and explore. And many of us don't pay attention to it. Many of us don't know that your faculties actually are all avenues for God to express Himself to you. Many of us don't know that your eyes, your five senses, your nose, your ear, your tongue, your everything, God even wants to use them. Those may be higher levels, but at least you should be able to hear God in your spirit. Hallelujah. And that begins from enough. So I won't be able to go too deep into it, but I want us to go and work on that area. It is not just for me to come and say God told me, or Father Ogi to come and say God told me, or Pastor Shea to come and say God told me. The question is, what did God tell you to? God told you something. Praise God. God said something to you. So don't, it is not reserved for the clergy, even though there's nothing like that in this place. It is for all of us. And one thing I've discovered is that God speaks, it's just that we do not know that He's speaking. Hallelujah. Do you know that two people can be communicating here, and we, the other here, will not know that they are communicating? Those days when you go out and they will give you food, and your mom will do like this. What's she doing? What's she doing? Let's talk now. That's communication. That's communication. God help you, you don't understand that language. You vomit that food when you get to. You know that God is doing like that to many of us, and we don't even know. So see, God is sound. You don't get. God is what? He's sound. He said he had the voice of the Lord God walking. You can't separate God from sound. There are some things that God is light. God is sound. Hallelujah. God is water. Amen. God is fire. You know he's those things. But let's talk about that part of him that is sound. When I say sound, I don't mean something audible that you can hear in your ear. But people can communicate by sound. They can communicate by signs. But one way or the other, God is speaking. Paul wrote, he said there are many voices in the world, and each one of them has what? Has significance. Hallelujah. Like the last meeting we went, I told that somebody had the will of God for his life. We were just passing on some people. You know those guys who used to play Bubuliri across the street? Sell Pasuma and sell Obesiri. And the guy was passing by, and that person said something, and that was what he had been expecting God to say. So you would all pass by and go, you will not hear. Hallelujah. But I want us to go and just explore that area, because it will help you. If you are not strong in that place, I doubt how far you can really go. Because it takes the communication of Him that called you to keep you. You can't walk on your own. He needs to guide you. The manual for this journey is in his hand. And therefore he has to. So when you are hearing that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, the leading is twofold. The leading of God ordering your paths in disciplining you. Like we learned about discipline. One of these leadings have to do with discipline. Discipline, like we had, is not about flogging you. It's about tailoring you. That's first. Then the other part is on our everyday lives. We need to be led. The Lord speaks to our hearts. So I don't want you to be a band of one of those people that say that does God still speak to people? God still speaks. And I really want you to get materials, get books, get whatever it takes to be able to understand the workings of God. Because it's not just for you alone. God also wants to, through you, also speak to other people. That's another level of it. But the first thing is for you to begin to hear God for yourself. Hallelujah. To begin to hear God for yourself. When you look at those disciples, they did not understand hearing God before Christ went. You know, Christ was always giving it out. Even when Peter gave a revelation that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, the guy just thought he was talking his own. It took Christ to recognize that guy, this is the highest revelation on earth at this time. Praise the Lord. That was the peak of revelation at that time. That flesh and blood has not revealed it. It was the peak to know that the Christ, the Son of God, was on earth. It was the peak. I don't think any other person has seen that. It was the present truth at that time. But the guy just thought he was expressing his mind. Hallelujah. But we saw that when the Holy Ghost came and all that, we saw how God began to move. We saw the very first prophecy of Peter, and it brought in 3,000 people to the kingdom on that same day. So beyond you, beyond yourself, I'm trying to come to the basis. Beyond you and beyond yourself, God also wants to use it to speak to people. So you must understand that we are a prophetic church. Every one of us should hear God. Every one of us, everybody should hear God. I don't want to go into the different means by which you can hear God. I just want to underscore the fact that you won't go too far if you have not learned the habit of communicating with the one that called you. You didn't call yourself, so you can't walk this path by yourself. Hallelujah. There are many things you don't know. I'm always saying something, that God is more brilliant than we are. If God says that this tool here is a tree, just accept. Praise God. Because for you, the idea of a tree is something that is long and it has leaves and bears fruits. But when God says that this thing is a tree, He is more brilliant than you are. He knows what He's saying. So it's a realm that you have to school yourself in to be able to understand that God is actually talking to me or God is not talking to me. And that's one of the benefits of the New Testament. If you have not gotten to that, you need to get that. That hearing God is it on your own and personally. Hallelujah. That does not strike out the place of the New Testament prophet. That does not mean that God cannot speak to you through people and through weather. God sees speech. So when that Joel 2:28 talks about signs in the sky, the sun will not, you know, become the moon, and the sun, you know, will become blood, you know, signs of smoke and all that. All those things will happen real. They will happen really. There will be signs in the sky. God is going to communicate with comets, communicate with, you know, different kinds of things. I'm going to end on this note. There is a book I'm reading now, and I heard that Bob Jones actually gave a prophecy 1 year and said that around that time that God is going to do something in Kansas City, and that a comet was going to come through that year, and everybody was waiting to see. You know, a comet actually came just to come and signify what the Lord was saying. So there are going to be signs in the sky. There are going to be signs in the sky. You know, there are people who can tell you that rain will fall on certain day and it will fall by the Spirit of God. Just God will not do all those things because He wants to give you a cow. You know that He will not give you all that because you need an admission. You know, in the fulfillment of His plan and purpose, certain things are going to happen. There will be signs in the sky. There will be signs in natural things around. God is going to use things around to speak His mind. But I'm coming to the basis form to say that you cannot run away from that. It's a course that you have to be in learning to understand. So go get books. get books, get tips, get materials, get these things, because you cannot, you may not, some, like somebody like Samuel was hearing God, but you don't know that he took an Eli to do what? To tell him that when he speaks again, just reply. And you know, God was expecting the guy to say, "Speak on, your servant is listening." But as long as God does not get that response, he will not see anything. And all he needed was that response. Some of us just need certain responses to the Holy Ghost. That's what we need. Samuel was a boy. It's not a crime that you are a boy. But it's a crime, it's very unfortunate if you don't have an Eli around to put you through. And we have a lot of them around. You have books, you have people, you have materials enough to be able to understand that God is actually speaking. You understand? I had to learn the hard way. I'll share this. There was a year like that. I was proposing on a thing, and I saw that God was speaking to me in a language I did not understand. I still did not understand. I still went into it. Understand? Seeing that Brabulu is coming along the way, I have seen him like 10 meters away. That's Brabulu. I'm going to greet him when we come. And I get there, I see that it's somebody else entirely. I was almost like embarrassing the people self. And it was happening one time, second time, third time, 3 days, 5 days, the whole week, if not going up to 2 weeks, not knowing that God was talking. But as a stupid boy, I did not hear. I had already made the mistake already before I went and said, "So God was speaking all along." And that's why we say that, well, your mistakes sometimes can help you contribute to this whole thing we are talking about. I think I've been able to do a little justice by the help of the Holy Spirit.
It's grace, your grace. I'm nothing without you.
We hope that you have been richly blessed by this message. God demands that we not only be hearers but doers of the word. We implore you to put these teachings to practice. Perhaps you have a question running through your mind in the course of the message. Forward it directly to pastor's email, pttchurch@gmail.com. We desire to have you join one of our meetings, School of Diocesis, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Governmental prayers, every Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Sunday service, 9 a.m. at Power and Glory Tabernacle Auditorium, along Futa South Gate Road, Akure. For more information about the ministry, log on to our website at www.pgtchurch.org or call 080-372-60299. Grace be with you.
It's your grace.